intently that it was as if he was reading Brother's thoughts off the back of his head. "And now please leave," said Vorbis. "Rest as much as you can, my son."
Brother walked slowly across the place, deep in unaccustomed thought.
"Afternoon, your reverence."
"You know already." Cut me own hand off, Dublar beamed over the top of his lukewarm, ice-cold sherbet stand.
"Heard it on the grapevine," he said. "Here, have a slab of Clachian Delight, free, on a stick."
The place was more crowded than usual. Even Dublar's hotcakes were selling like hotcakes.
"Busy today," said Brother, hardly thinking about it. "Time of the prophets, see," said Dublar, "when the great God is manifest in the world. And if you think it's busy now, you won't be able to swing a goat in here in a few days' time."
"What happens then?"
"You're right. You look a bit peaky."
"What happens then?"
"The laws. You know. The Book of Vorbis, I suppose."
Dublar leaned towards Brother.
"You wouldn't have a hint, would you? I suppose the great God didn't happen to say anything of benefit to the convenience of food industry."
"I don't know. I think he'd like people to grow more lettuce."
"Really?"
"It's only a guess."
Dublar grinned evilly.
"Ah, yes, but it's your guess. A nod's as good as a poke with a sharp stick to a deaf camel, as they say. I know where I can get my hands on a few acres of well-irrigated land, funnily enough. Perhaps I ought to buy now, ahead of the crowd."
"Can't see any harm in it, Mr. Dublar."
Dublar sidled closer. This was not hard. Dublar sidled everywhere. Crabs thought he walked sideways.
"Funny thing," he said. "I mean, Vorbis."
"Funny," said Brother.
"Makes you think. Even Ossory must have been a man who walked around just like you and me. Got wax in his ears just like ordinary people. Funny thing."
"What is?"
"The whole thing."
Dublar gave Brother another conspiratorial grin and then sold a footsore pilgrim a bowl of hummus that he would come to regret. Brother wandered down to his dormitory. It was empty at this time of day, hanging around dormitories being discouraged in case the presence of the rock-hard mattresses engendered thoughts of sin. His few possessions were gone from the shelf by his bunk. Probably he had a room of his own somewhere, although no one had told him. Brother felt totally lost. He lay down on the bunk just in case, and offered up a prayer to Om. There was no reply. There had been no reply for almost all of his life, and that hadn't been too bad because he'd never expected one. And before, there'd always been the comfort that perhaps Om was listening and simply not deigning to say anything. Now there was nothing to hear. He might as well be talking to himself and listening to himself, like Vorbis. That thought wouldn't go away. "Mind like a steel ball," Om had said. Nothing got in or out. So all Vorbis could hear were the distant echoes of his own soul. And out of the distant echoes he would forge a Book of Vorbis, and Brother suspected he knew what the commandments would be. There would be talk of holy wars and blood and crusades and blood and piety and blood. Brother got up feeling like a fool, but the thoughts wouldn't go away. He was a bishop, but he didn't know what bishops did. He'd only seen them in the distance drifting along like earthbound clouds. There was only one thing he felt he knew how to do. Some spotty boy was hoeing the vegetable garden. He looked at Brother in amazement when he took the hoe, and was stupid enough to try to hang on to it for a moment.
"I am a bishop, you know," said Brother.
"Anyway, you aren't doing it right. Go and do something else." Brother jabbed viciously at the weeds around the seedlings. Only away a few weeks, and already there was a haze of green on the soil. "You're a bishop, for being good. And here's the iron turtle in case you're bad, because..." There were two people in the desert, and Om spoke to one of them. It had never occurred to Brother like that before. Om had spoken to him. Admittedly, he hadn't said the things that great prophets said he said. Perhaps he'd never said things like that. He worked his way along to the end of the row, then he tidied up the bean vines. Lutse watched Brother carefully from his little shed by the soil heaps. It was another barn. Ern was seeing a lot of barns. They'd started with a cart and invested a lot of time in reducing its weight as much as possible. Gearing had been a problem. He'd been doing a lot of thinking about gears. The ball wanted to spin much faster than the wheels wanted to turn. That was probably a metaphor.